Hello and welcome into another edition of 90 Day Our Way. I am one half of your hosts. I am John.
And I'm the other half. I'm Lindsay.
And thank you all for joining us again as we had another, I would say, good episode. We had our first wedding. We also had some motherly conversations and some move outs.
So you said it was a good episode. I'm kind of over it.
Oh.
Like, let's just get these weddings done and be done with it. Because these storylines, I'm done with them.
Dragging them out a little bit at this point.
Yeah, like very dragged out. Like, the prenup should have been resolved like 40 episodes ago.
Fair.
Kobe and Emily just suck. Jabri and Miona don't care anymore. And I'm just sick of it. I mean, the best part of this was Karen Guillermo, and now we're never going to see him again because they're married.
We might. You never know. They'll say that never.
No, you're right. But let's just get into it.
Who do you want to start off with?
Let's start up with Jabri and Miona because they pissed me off the most this episode.
All right. So first things first.
I'm the realist.
Can we stop with the matching clothes? We've got pink coats this go around.
They looked like pink Teletubbies. It was a little ridiculous.
So it took them about a week to move out since they had the talk with Jabri's parents. And they're heading over to Joshua Tree to stay and get married.
Okay, so all of a sudden they like found a place to live in Joshua Tree and that's where they're getting married.
I guess. I mean, it's like a hotel for the time being.
It's just so weird. So they have 3 days to get married, by the way. So they have to drive to Joshua Tree.
It's a day, he said.
And then get married.
So really 2 days.
So anyway, this scene was so fucking scripted. It was ridiculous. I'm so sick of it. It's so fake. I'm just so done with it.
Miona was really happy though, so that's some positives coming out from this.
Literally the first time I've seen her happy this entire series season, I should say.
It's because they're moving out. So yeah, she was really happy. And then we also see that Jabri's parents are not going to the wedding. And the result of that is it's due to Jabri's impulsiveness.
Yeah. So Mahala says that she's not happy and that him acting impulsive, there's consequences. And the consequences is that her and Brian are not going to be at the wedding.
Yeah. And she's really nervous about everything.
And I don't blame her.
No, not at all. Not at all.
The most awkward part of this whole scene, though, is when they're like packing the car and Jabri is like, we should say goodbye to my parents.
Is that okay?
Is that cool? Like, bro.
Just very awkward.
It was so awkward. It was so scripted. It was just weird. I'm just sick of them. I hope they get married next week so that I never have to see them again, even though they're all over my freaking Instagram.
Fun times.
And yeah.
I just hope they get a real license plate on that CRV because that temp tag has got to be due.
When did we first see the car? Oh, when they went to Chicago.
Yeah, like a month ago.
I have to look back at my notes on when that was, but it was definitely like 2 months ago.
So is the plate getting married to Joshua Tree now? Like, I'm a little concerned. You're riding dirty at this point. It's getting close.
It's a TLC car. And
They're paying for everything.
100%.
All right. Well, that's fine then. I just hope they get a license plate on there because that temp tag is no bueno.
And then when Jabri said goodbye to Mahala, he's like, oh, mom, next year you're going to see my name everywhere, whatever the hell he said.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, bro, go away. You're so annoying.
Yeah, but that was pretty much them. So nice to only get one little quick scene of them this episode.
Thank God. I'm so sick of them.
Who do you want to head over to next?
Let's go to Eve and Mohammed. Okay, guys, I love you all who are listening, but I'm really, this is like the time in this season of every season of 90 Day Fiancé where I'm just done. Like, I'm just sick of all the couples. I'm sick of the recycled storylines. Like, just get married or break up or do whatever. I'm just done. But,
fair enough.
And, like, the thing is, though, like, I get TLC trying to give us entertainment, but it's like, these seasons are too long.
Yeah, if they could shorten, maybe cut out, like, 3 episodes, I would say.
Yeah.
Just to get some of that filler out.
Like, there's so much filler. And then, like, we're about to talk about Eve and Mohammed. So, the first scene we see with Eve and Mohammed, or just Mohammed, there's 37 days left until their 90 days is up. And then the second scene we see with them, there's 23 days. So, you're telling me in 2 weeks, there was nothing that happened between them?
Nah.
So, it's like, I'm just sick of this. Like, either show me everything or cut episodes.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Okay, so we can dive into it. I've gone on my rant. Jonathan says that I rant a lot, so I'm really sorry, guys. I hope you don't mind.
No, it's all good. So for Eve and Mohammed, they've had some arguments over culture over the last few weeks, the strange fire ceremony, friends, and the wedding. And it seems like Mohammed doesn't think it's going to work out at this point.
Yeah, he says he's nervous. It's not going to work out. So he ends up FaceTiming his mom and his grandma. Let me just say, another mom killing it.
Yeah, his mom was awesome.
She is dope AF. She's like
one of the MVPs of this episode.
100%. She is like on Janice level right now. Like an OG. So happy that he talked to her.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, like Lindsay said, he calls her, he pretends everything's okay. But like what his mom was saying is we cannot force Eve to adapt to our cultures and customs. Like she's an American woman. She has her own, you know, set of culture, set of customs going on. And the one thing that I thought was hilarious and Muhammad's mom just says, don't be grumpy.
Like, she knows him? I was like, yeah, mom knows.
And I was like, yo, Mohammed's mom is a straight boss right now.
So, yeah, what I said is, like, Mohammed tells his mom that there are cultural differences, and mm-hmm. she's pretty much like, well, what do you expect?
Yeah.
And then I said, Mohammed is pissed his mom said that she, aka Eve, is in a different place, and Mohammed shouldn't be grumpy. And then the next line I wrote is, we love Mohammed's mom.
Which was, yeah, it was perfect. It was like such a new leaf almost, so to say. And his mom even said further, you know, do not upset her. Eve is a good woman. And then Mohammed, it seems like, does believe in his mom's experiences that she's had. So seems like maybe this talk with his mom has kind of, you know, changed his perspective a little bit, which is a positive.
Yeah, exactly. So Mohammed says, like, they're always learning. Like, he's always learning. Eve should always be learning. And, like, he does feel that Eve doesn't have Mohammed's back. And his mom was pretty much like, hey, you need to compromise in this relationship. Like, you need to realize who she is. She needs to realize who you are.
Yep.
And, like, he really, I think, is starting to believe that they can kind of start over and understand each other coming from two different cultures and blending them together.
Definitely. And then that was the end of that scene. And then when we came back, even Mohammed had their discussion. And this Mohammed was saying how he's trying to understand the culture more. And then Eve just wants to feel supportive, and Eve even asks if Mohammed feels like they are too different.
And I mean, they are, but this is also the part where I was just kind of confused with the timing because, you right. know, the first scene is he's talking to his mom, and then 2 weeks later is the scene with him and Eve, and it's like, did they have additional discussions about this? Has he been treating her better? Has she been treating him better? Like, what has been the home life? Like, there was no background on that after that discussion.
Right.
And I mean, like, yeah, what we're about to talk about, like, I guess that was the result of the discussion with his mom. But, like, again, it's 2 weeks later. So
yeah,
it's
where's the,
like,
in-between?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe nothing good happened.
But, yeah. And then when Eve asks him if they're too different, he says it doesn't matter that they're different. And then Eve, you know, wants to know that they can get through things. And we get to the final bit of their conversation when they're at the restaurant.
So they're at the restaurant and they are talking. And I mean, honestly, Mohammed seems like a whole new person.
Yeah, for sure.
Whole new person. Seems so much happier. They seem to really be enjoying their relationship together.
Right.
And he's like, let's go out to the
fire
or the view or whatever the hell he said. And they go out into this like porch thing.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
there's like a million fire like stands that you see at like outside bars in the cold. And he re-proposes to Eve.
It was like a sneak attack, though.
Oh, my God. It was like, this is lovely. Will you marry me?
It was like he, like, jumped around her and, like, came in from behind her and was like, will you marry me?
But it was so fast. It was just like, oh, I got you these flowers. Will you marry me? And it's like, bro, where did you come from?
Yeah.
Why are you on your knee all of a sudden?
It's like a ninja coming after. But Eve says, of course I will. You are the love of my life. And it seems like this now, like, all is just forgiven from the last couple months.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's like, where is this conversation, TLC? Like, where have they had this conversation? Like, you know, Mohammed says, like, they're blending their cultures together and forgiving each other. So, like, did they have that conversation? Is this re-proposal just that conversation? Like, why do we not know this?
I need more.
I do need more.
Just from this storyline, at least.
But literally, it's been a complete 180 since he talked to his mom, which I think is good.
Yeah.
And it actually makes me seem like they're going to make it. But, I mean, he's still kind of a dick, so.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. I mean, it seems like they're on the right track now, and she did say yes, so hopefully everything works out for whatever they want.
We'll see about that. I will also say, I mean, Jonathan doesn't know this, but it looks like on Eve's social media, Theron's gone through a bit of medical issues, so just wanted to say, you know, we're thinking of him and hope everything goes well. So
definitely. So who would you like to head over to next?
Let's go to the other one I don't like.
Who, Bilal?
Yeah. Thank God we only saw him for like 2 minutes this episode. But his mom sucks.
Yeah, so we kick it off with them, and Shida is looking for some advice. So who does she call? She calls Bilal's mom.
Like, why? Literally, I saw this analogy on Twitter from someone. I'm sorry if you're listening and I don't give you the credit. But essentially it was like, you don't ask the other team for their playbook. How to win.
Like, obviously his mom is going to defend her son. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
So literally we get like this godsend of a woman in Mohammed's mom, and then we get like the worst woman mom possible on the show.
All right, let's not go that crazy.
I mean, she's not great. And the fact is they both practice the same religion.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and so they have the conversation, and Bilal's mom knows about the prenup, and they talk about trust, and she says how trust means different things to different people, which is true, but also, like, if my definition of trust is different than yours, obviously that's going to create some sort of an issue. So there needs to be a conversation had about that trust.
I agree. And it just, you know, Shida, I think, sees Bilal as a business person and makes business everything.
Yeah.
And his mom is just like, well, you're wrong. So you need to lead from behind.
Yeah, she says that. And then she says, always leave him with his manhood. So essentially, right. Like, at the end, always make sure, like, he feels like he's right and he won. And it's like, that's such BS. Like, you got to figure out how to make it work, but don't just, like, say, like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, have the conversation about it. You're just, like, giving in.
So literally, something that I wrote down is, like, Shida is like, oh, yeah, like, Bilal's a businessman and he lets it come in his relationship, and his mom is automatically like, oh, are you talking about the prenup? And it's like, how do you know that? How does everyone know this? His ex-wife knows this. His mom knows this.
He wanted to make sure that he got all of their input.
So anyway, so Bilal's mom says, I mean, what John was saying earlier about trust, and like Bilal's mom is like, oh, you know, Bilal is triggered by his past. So, like, did the ex-wife, Shahida, like, take all the money?
I mean, it doesn't look like it.
That's what I'm confused. Like, what is in his past that he's so triggered about?
Yeah, I don't know. But it essentially turns into, like, Bilal's mom making Shida feel like she's the problem and, like, she's the reasoning for why there's conflict in their relationship.
100%. Like, so his mom says that, like, Shida needs to bring the peace.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck?
There should be peace between you.
Maybe you just communicate with each other. And the fact is, okay, we'll get into this, but, like, I cannot stand that, like, she starts crying about it because she thinks she did wrong.
Yeah, which is, like I said, which is total BS.
Total BS. I feel bad for her. She needs to get out of this terrible relationship with his entire terrible family.
Which doesn't look like it's going to happen. But that pretty much...
They're getting married, unfortunately.
Yeah. And that pretty much ends that scene. And then we get to Shida and Bilal in the kitchen. And she's cooking some frozen chicken. What?
So, I do agree, like, she should not be cooking frozen chicken, but, like, Bilal is straight up just judging her. He's just like, oh, it's frozen. Oh, you're gonna do that? Or you're gonna be like, bitch, put on fucking gloves and help me.
I would have been like, put it back in the freezer. We're ordering something. Not eating that.
I mean, they need a defrosting tray like we have one.
Yeah, but... She's doing that, and then she tells...
I mean, she does wash her chicken, so I'll probably get defrosted, but it's just weird. Your face right now, I wish we had a camera. No.
But, and then we have Shida telling Bilal about the conversation between her and his mom.
And she says, which I hate, that she wants to learn to be submissive to Bilal.
Yeah, I just hate that word. Blech. We get this in, like, every season and, like, a couple or two, and, like, that's, like, their big hang-up, and it's just, like, I don't know. It's just, like, such a weird word.
It's such a weird word. It's such a weird culture phenomenon, which, like, I understand, like, different cultures from America, like, blah, 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 but, you know, Shida is such a strong, independent woman. She had her own business in Trini. She... You know, obviously she's an older female who's getting married. She kind of knows what she wants, all this stuff. So I don't understand why she needs to learn to be submissive to a douchebag like Bilal.
All right.
Sorry.
Fair enough.
I'm ranting again.
And during that, this is when Shida says that she is agreeing with the prenup, and Bilal's like, yeah, I can take care of you, but take care of me, sort of thing.
So this is the whole thing. So she's agreeing for freedom. That's what she says.
Yeah.
So that they stop arguing. And then Bilal, like, flips the script. And it's just like, oh, yeah, I'll take care of you. Oh, yeah, like, I'll invest in your business. Like, all of a sudden?
It's like he just wanted to win the argument.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And now that he's won, he like wants to be nice to her.
Yeah. And then Shida also says that she wants to have a child before 40. And Bilal's response is, I guess so. And he can agree to that.
So I don't know why I wrote this, but it's just the feeling I have. Do you think he had a vasectomy? And that's why he's like been very adamant about this.
No, because if that was the case, he would have just said that right off the bat.
I don't think he would, though.
That's fucked up, then.
I don't know. I have this weird feeling that he had a vasectomy. And that's why vasectomies can be reversed. Yeah. So, but it's just, I don't know. I have that weird feeling. Because he was so like,
and that culture,
bringing
though,
a child, blah, 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 blah,
blah. I just can't see it in like the culture that he's from.
Yeah, that's true.
I like can't see that.
But I feel like also he could be like, well, I had the son, so I don't need any more children. I don't know. It was just the feeling I got. I'm probably talking out of my ass right now. So,
but that was pretty much their couple scenes that they had. Anything else to add for those two?
I'm sick of them. I'm sick of this conversation about the prenup.
Prenup and kids.
Prenup and kids. I'm done. That's been their whole storyline.
Pretty much.
I'm sick of it.
All right. Who do you want to go to next?
Okay, so either we go to another shit show, which is Kobe and Emily.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. I was gonna say, or we go positive and go to the wedding.
No, we'll leave the wedding till last, but
temperature. Raising the temperature on everything.
What a guy. What a guy. What a name, what a guy. So him and Kobe are speaking French. I think it's French.
So Cameroon was owned by the French.
That's why I'm thinking it's French.
I think it might be French.
So we're going to say they're speaking French in front of Emily, so she can't tell what they're saying, which is pretty funny.
And she's like, can you speak English, please? English. It's like, ma'am, why don't you learn the language your husband speaks? But whatever.
And temperature suggests that they should move to Columbus. Which I'm still just baffled by this whole thing that there's a large Cameroon presence in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
I have a friend that lives there, and he's never mentioned once about having a Cameroon population in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, well, first off, temperature says there's millions of them that live there. I don't even think millions of people live in Ohio in general.
No, they probably do. They definitely do.
Okay, but when they're speaking in French, before we gloss over this, when they're speaking in French or whatever they're speaking in, it sounded French. Temperature tells Kobe to stay firm on how Emily treats him.
Oh, yes, yes.
And English!
God.
She's the worst. Yeah, and Emily's like, we're not relocating to Columbus.
So
you want to move to Ohio?
Like, it's probably a little better than Salina, Kansas.
But the fact is, like, no one is explaining to Emily, like, why Kobe wants to move to Columbus.
I think that's probably one of the larger issues of this.
Like, temperature with his dumbass remarks, oh, there's millions of Africans that live there. But, like, no one's like, oh, like, you know, Kobe says in his interview, like, if I get a job, I can get it would be easier for me to get a job if there's other Africans and they can hire me or teach me a trade or this and that. He says that in his interview, but, yeah. You know, why would he tell Emily that?
Well, because she's just going to say, no, that's stupid.
What? Oh, my God.
So
I hate them. I mean, I love Kobe, but she's not the greatest person ever.
So then we get to Emily's parents' house, and Kobe and Emily are showing temperature the house, and they go downstairs to where they're staying, and then the bomb drops.
Okay, well, hold on. You, like, skip a few pages.
Yeah, because I only like the good stuff.
So they're showing the house, and temperature says to Emily that she just tells Kobe what to do and doesn't discuss it. And I was like, yep, pretty much.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Okay, so now the bomb drops.
Yeah, so they go downstairs to see where Emily and Kobe are staying, and temperature slips up about them having a second child, and Emily is pissed.
Yeah, so temperature's like, you know, you're going to live here, or does he even say this? I don't know. With two kids, and she was like, hold up. Two kids? You told him? I was like, oh my God, this woman.
Like, there's larger issues going on here. That's not like...
Like, your wedding is in 5 days. Like...
And she thinks, like, this is a huge violation of her trust, and they're getting married this weekend, and how could he do this?
Yeah, she doesn't trust him now, because he told the one person from his home that she's pregnant.
Like, do you really... What is going to happen? Temperature is going to go and tell your parents?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, because that man is stirring the pot more than anyone I've seen this season.
But it was so ridiculous. It's like, oh my God, like, there's worse things that could have happened here.
So then we get to the next scene, and Emily's, like, cleaning up. The wedding's in 2 days. She's stressed out. Kobe is in the horse stables, like, taking care of the horses. And Emily... This is what she says. It's probably not verbatim, but this is what she says. She says, I was plugging in your iPad, and I just so happened to look at it, and you were looking at houses, one-bedroom apartments in Columbus. Mind you, when we look at the actual scene, she's, like, scrolling through his iPad.
Like, goes through the lock screen and everything else.
Yeah, so, essentially, Kobe was looking at one-bedroom apartments in Columbus, Ohio, and she goes and confronts Kobe in the horse stable, and her whole thing is not just that he's looking at apartments in Columbus, but that he's looking at... This is what she's fixated on. One bedrooms. So she's like, oh, is he going to move there without me? Or he thinks he's going to move a family of four to a one bedroom apartment in Columbus? Like, I'm pretty sure that man had no idea what he was looking at.
No, and he even says, like, temperature sent me a link and I was just looking. And it's like, yeah, like, that's probably exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened. But. So Emily confronts Kobe, and Kobe's first thing is, why are you looking at my iPad? Like, yes, you are correct in this situation. Like, why?
Yeah.
But
correct, but that's also, like, not what he should have said.
No. I mean...
To start it, at least.
He just should tell her to just shut the fuck up.
Again.
But then we find out the real reason she doesn't want to move is because she doesn't want to leave her family.
Yeah.
AKA her safety net, AKA her bankroll, AKA her free babysitters, AKA they're going to do everything for her and she's never going to grow up.
Yeah. And I feel like she's creating an issue that doesn't need to happen. And she's just like, we're not moving there. Like, just tell me this isn't happening. And it's like, all right, like, chill out. Like, have you never looked at apartments somewhere else or looked at houses somewhere else? Like, we all do this on Zillow, like, on a daily basis.
Like, Jonathan looks at houses in Nevada all the time, and, like, we're never moving there.
Maybe.
No, we're never moving there.
Vegas, what up?
No.
Hendersonville?
No.
Henderson.
Hendersonville.
Henderson. Corrected myself. The burbs of Vegas.
We're never moving there.
Potentially one day.
But anyway, so Kobe agrees with you, what you just said. Like, she's making a big deal out of nothing.
It's a non-issue.
Especially 5 days before the wedding.
Yeah.
Like.
But then we see him, and like how Lindsay was alluding to earlier, like he says how he can easily get a job in Ohio with temperature and other Cameroon men, and he'll feel like, you know, he's not so far away from family, friends, and his culture. Like, it would be good, you know, to have that around him. And he's not just on an island in Kansas. So I see where he's coming from. But also, like, he, you know, just by looking at the apartments and stuff, like, that's not an issue.
And essentially, like, there's just things with Kobe that annoy me. Because he says at the end, like, their relationship won't work if there's no compromise.
Yeah.
But again, he's saying this in an interview.
Yeah, he's got to, like, tell her.
He's saying, he always says this stuff in an interview. He says, like, oh, I can get a job in an interview. Or he tells temperature something. Or, you know, he never tells Emily this stuff.
Because he doesn't want to upset her because she's just going to jump at him.
Which I get, but maybe she wouldn't jump at him if he actually expresses how he feels.
Yeah.
And what it seems like is he just lets it bottle up in him. And then that's when we get the shut the fuck up, or, you know, next week we see them getting a little tiff and stuff. So it's like, if they actually communicated, feel like they would have a great relationship.
Yeah.
So there's just shit on both of them that I'm just like, I'm sick of them.
Fair enough.
Oh, we saw Coben in their like intro little picture. Cutest little baby ever. That's all I'm watching them for now. See Coben, see their new kid. Besides that, they suck.
Fair enough.
All right, let's go on to Patty.
Patrick and Thais.
I will say, lack of John this episode.
Very, very disappointing.
Very disappointing. I would absolutely love to see John in his natural habitat of Massachusetts.
Of Boston, Massachusetts.
I would love it. And the fact that we didn't see that and he stayed and watched the floofy dog.
Very disappointing.
Very disappointing.
So we start out with Thais, and since telling her dad, she is very confused. She's missing Brazil. She's missing her dad. And on the other side of things, it seems like Patrick is kind of in survival mode at this point.
Yeah, so Patrick says that the call with her dad was essentially his worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying. I will say, freaking 90 Day Fiance magic BS that they do. You know, it made it seem like she was going to Brazil. No, yeah. They're just going to Boston.
Yeah, totally, like, slipped my mind that they were going to Orlando and they're going to Boston beforehand.
Literally,
oh, shit.
We were watching it. And, like, we see Thais packing, and I'm like, oh, my God, their wedding's in Orlando. That's exactly where she's packing to. It's not like she's packing to go to freaking Brazil. Goddamn 90 Day got me.
So, they're flying to Boston. They're meeting Patrick's sister and Patrick's mom. And we find out that Patrick's mom has some type of lung cancer and she has less than a year to live.
Yeah, so it's pretty upsetting, especially because Patrick said they've rebuilt their relationship and, you know, they have forgiven each other. But he is going to FaceTime his mom at the wedding so she can still be there. But, you know, she can't go to Orlando.
Yeah, and his sister, Tiffany, I think was her name, right?
Yes, it was.
So we just got to ask the question of why does she have a black eye? Okay. I do not think it's from falling on the ice.
No, 100% it's not falling from the ice. We all know why she has black eyes. She lives in Boston. We all know what the reasoning is. But the fact is, it's not just one black eye. I mean, one eye is really, really bad.
Yeah.
But then in the scenes with Thais in the wedding dress, her other eye is kind of blacked. And
she
then,
had like a lip.
Yeah.
Like
and then at
top
dinner,
lip.
Her lip was busted.
Yeah.
So obviously,
something's going on.
Unless she really fucking fell on the ice, which, like, I don't even think they had a bad winter last year or this year. So, like,
no, not really.
I highly doubt that. Yeah, I won't assume anything, but I'm gonna assume things. I mean, I feel bad for her, but
I want the real story.
So do I. We'll never get it though.
So we get to the sister and Patrick's mom asking Thais, you know, if her family's happy, and Thais says yes because she's just trying to, you know, keep things a-okay and keep things, you know, calm and cool. And then Patrick butts in and he's like, well, no, not really.
So, you know, to me, they're questioning Thais, but like she's only here for him.
Yeah. And I think she's trying to keep things positive, especially in front of Patrick's mom. Like, she doesn't want to start, like, bringing all the negativity or, like, the conversations with her dad into the fold, so.
Yeah, she wants to focus on, like, his family.
Yeah, and I liked how she was just, like, trying to play nice and just saying, like, yes, everyone's happy, and then Pastor's just like, nah, not really.
But his family is just, they are typical Bostonians, massholes, if you will, where they're just very, like, in your face, abrupt, direct, which, like, is not a bad thing, but also, like, I feel bad for Thais because obviously she's questioning the entire wedding, and, like, I don't think these questions are helping
her
decision at all.
No, and then Patrick even says, like, he's unsure if they'll have a happy ending. And then while they're dress shopping, Thais, you know, mentions how she misses her family and friends and really being independent. And Tiffany asks Thais why she loves Patrick. And Thais is just like, well, yes, I love Patrick.
I also think, like, she doesn't know how to express it in English that well.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm not going to fault her for that at all.
I think she's taking it as just like, do you love him? Not like, what about him?
Yeah, exactly. Like she said, like he has like a like an open heart and like all this stuff or a good heart.
Yep.
And then she's like, I just love him. And it's like, obviously Tiffany's kind of trying to get more and she's reading into it even.
Yeah, she's like pressing her.
And like, I just don't think Thais, like, knows how to express it in English. Because, like, mind you, like, she moved to the States 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. Like, her English has gotten very good, like, all this stuff. But her and Patrick still speak Portuguese. So it's probably, you know, something that she doesn't know how to express.
Yeah, some of the different, like, nuances and slang and lingo is definitely different. So that takes time to learn over time.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Tiffany says that she wants to make sure Thais is right for Patrick. And it's like,
and doesn't want Patrick to go through another divorce.
Yeah, it was weird. But they're wedding dress shopping and Thais says it hasn't been a top priority. And like, mind you, they are getting married in 7 days. So yeah. It hasn't been.
No, not at all. And she does find a wedding dress.
She looks gorgeous.
It was very, like, it was very just, like, simple, no, like, crazy designs or anything. And I think that alone should kind of tell you that she's here for Patrick. Like, if she went and got, like, this crazy extravagant dress and everything, then you can kind of read into it a little bit more and be like, oh, she just wants to spend all this money and be surrounded by the money and come to the U.S. But she's just like, I'm very simple and like got a simple dress to go along with kind of her mantra and her motto.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, she does say that she's still contemplating if she wants to get married or not. And I feel bad for her. I feel like it is a big battle in her mind.
For sure. For sure. And then we get to their last little scene after the dress shopping and family friend Alicia comes into the mix. And I put that as a question because is she really a family friend? Is something else going on with her? What is her mainstay in the family?
Yeah. And then she like even starts questioning Thais and I'm just like,
yeah,
who are you?
Yeah, and Thais even said, like, she felt like they were kind of, like, telling her what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And I put, like, Patrick's mom is very direct, which, you know, no fault of her own. And then I also had written down that Tiffany sucks.
Well, okay, so Thais and Patrick walk in, and Patrick and Tiffany's hug is the most awkward thing I've ever seen, especially between siblings. I mean, I know Patrick brought up that they haven't always been close and they're not even like that close right now.
Right.
But it was just so awkward.
I agree.
And Patrick's mom like brings up that she had been married like 4 times.
Yes.
So I think we can kind of decipher that like either Patrick has a different dad or his little brother has a different dad. Because
for sure,
Tiffany and John look alike, but Patrick does not look like them. And then his younger brother, Matthew, does not look like any of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But, you know, Thais says that she really misses her home. And his mom, what Jonathan was saying earlier, asks Thais if she's mature enough to raise a family with Patrick. Like, who are you? Like, who are you?
It's none of your business. That's what I would have said.
And then this was the weirdest thing ever. Patrick's mom says that as she gets older, Patrick will replace the relationship that she has with her dad.
Oh, yeah.
That was weird as F to me.
I mean, your dad is always your dad. Like, and your husband is your husband.
Yeah. Like, no offense, babe. Like, I appreciate you a lot, but, like, you're never going to replace my dad.
Yeah, it was just, like, a weird thing to say.
Like, that's just weird. Like, I mean, I care about you both immensely. I love you both immensely. But, like, my dad is my dad.
Yeah, it's just, it's a different relationship.
Yeah, exactly. It was just weird.
Yeah, but that was pretty much all for Patrick and Thais. Anything else, or you think that covers it?
I think that covers it. You know, his mom says that they're not ready to get married, but obviously they are. And yeah,
I think they're probably the most stable.
100%. I mean, yeah, she's questioning it right now, but they're going to get married.
Yeah.
I mean, her dad will learn to love Patrick.
For sure.
As soon as she gets her green card, she's going to be going back to Brazil and seeing everyone. So I don't think there's any problems at all.
No. So let's head to our last couple from this episode.
It's wedding day!
And our first wedding from Cara and Guillermo.
Hands down, I'm obsessed with both of them. They both look so good. They both look, they both seem so in love.
Yeah, and Guillermo even said he's ready, he's excited, and it is going to be beautiful.
Yeah, and Kara says that she has an octopus in her stomach.
Awkward.
Weirdest analogy I've ever heard.
Never heard that ever.
But I'm going to say it all the time now. And they were just really cute. Like, Guillermo says he's going to be better for Kara, and, like, Kara's going to be better for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, Kara wanted to do something bigger for Guillermo when it comes to the wedding. They do get married in, like, a beer hall.
Yeah, it was like a German beer hall. So, like, in the back, you can kind of see, like, a couple people just chilling at the bar.
It's hella awkward. But she said, you know, she wanted to do that for him, and she wanted a compromise for him. And then the saddest part was, you know, when Guillermo says he wished his brothers were there and all that stuff. And I started to tear up.
Yeah, he wishes he had his family there because he was essentially getting ready by himself.
Yeah, he was. I mean, we see Uncle Mike at the wedding, the OG. but, you know, and then we see Kara getting ready. She looks really, really pretty. Very, like, I Love Lucy, pinup doll, like, very... I don't know. She looked very elegant to me, like sexy elegant.
Yeah, we said a not as voluptuous Betty Boop.
Yes, exactly. But she looks good.
They were laughing about how this is the easy part.
Yes. Okay, that's what I wrote, and yeah. I was like, I can't read.
After having the expired visa and.
Yeah, it's like going...
Her expired passport.
My expired passport, going through the pandemic,
yeah,
his
she's
brother
like,
passing away.
She's like, this is the easy part.
It's so funny. I mean, it's true, though.
Yeah, and then Guillermo sets everything up so that his family can watch on live stream, and he puts out some flowers for his brother, Jose Joaquin. So it feels like, you know, his family and his brother are there with him.
Exactly, and then... You know, Kara says that she thinks Guillermo makes her better and nicer, and that's all she
very
can
true.
Ask for. And I was like, that is very true, and I'm happy you recognize how hard this man loves you.
Yes, most definitely.
And then Kara walks out, and they both start to cry, and, like, I started to cry because they both, you can tell that they love each other.
For sure. And Guillermo even says, like, she is my dream. Like, she is my dream. And we see, you know, Guillermo's mom and family tearing up as well, which
was his mom was
nice
crying.
To see.
I can't. I was like, yes, I love you guys.
His mom is so nice.
I
Another great mom.
Another great mom. Only bad mom is Bilal's mom.
So far.
So they get married and it's really cute. And Guillermo messes up his speech in English and it's really, really cute and
chive.
Funny.
I like a chive too.
I mean, that's how it's spelled. So I don't blame him at all.
It was funny though that she corrected
him. She was like, achieve.
It's like, this is their relationship in a nutshell right here.
A chive. And then they kiss and it's really cute and they walk down the aisle and they like stop at the computer and they wave at Guillermo's family. And then you see them celebrating together and in their interview, you know, they say what's next and Kara's like, well, we have to adjust his status, which is like obviously the first priority.
Yeah.
And Guillermo's like, I'm ready for kids.
And she's like, well, not now.
He's like, we can practice.
We have all these other things, but yes, we can practice.
But yeah, he's like, kids. And she's like, well, we need to get a house. We need to do this. We need to do that. He's like, okay, we can practice, kids. All they do is bang. Like, all they do. And me and Jonathan were talking about it. Like, she's probably into some weird ass shit. And I can see Guillermo, like, just being her little lapdog doing whatever. Well, that was the episode.
Yeah, it was good. Not as good as the previous few episodes, but we had some good stuff in there. Didn't get Ari and Benny in this episode, which is a little disappointing.
Well, yeah, because the last episode they went through like 10 days in a matter of 2 seconds.
So, next week we'll definitely get some Ari and Benny in there.
Well, it looks like they're getting married.
Let's go.
And then next time on Shida tries on her wedding dress or sees her wedding dress that Bilal's sister made.
It's not what I asked for.
It looks terrible.
Yeah, it's not great. It looks like a t-shirt.
And Shida looks like she starts crying, so I feel really bad for her. Thais and Patrick are in Miami.
Woo!
Clearly. I mean, if you don't know that's Miami, then...
Welcome to Miami. That's where they should move.
What are they, Russ and Paula?
No, but I mean, Thais would probably fit right in.
Why Russ and Paula moved here, because she was like, I fit in Miami.
And
I want to be a model, blah, blah, blah. And Thais still doesn't know what she wants to do, if she wants to marry Patrick or not. I mean, they're in Florida, so ma'am, I hope you know what you want to do. Ari and Benny get married.
Woo.
Jabri wants to fly his mom to the wedding.
Last second.
Ain't gonna happen, bro.
We'll see.
Eve's friend, her like old cougar friend, asks if she has cold feet and that the red flags means that they won't last. And then her friend straight up says, you know, I was a runaway bride. Like, okay, congratulations.
Yeah, like good,
weird.
Good for you. Congrats.
And then lastly, Emily's doubting Kobe and Kobe tells Emily to fuck off the night before the wedding.
Let's go.
So pumped about that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
Anyway, I'm so sick of these couples. I hope they all get married. I believe we have 3 more weeks left. And then I would say a 2-part tell-all.
Sounds right.
And then we go into Happily Ever After. And again, if you missed it last week, we will not be covering Big Ed in Happily Ever After when that starts, because he is a predator and a creepy ass man, and I refuse, and he doesn't even have a 90-day fiance, and I refuse to cover him, and I will make a judgment call on if we end up covering Angela, because I also do not like her and how she emotionally abuses Michael.
Agreed.
So anyway, thanks for listening. This was a quick episode, so hopefully you're enjoying. Please rate us 5 stars. Please follow us on Instagram, 90day_ourway. Let us know if you've noticed anything with our recordings. We're trying to make them better. So if they're too low, too high, anything like that, please let us know. I'm going to start dropping my email in the description. So please email me or send us an DM on Instagram. But thanks for listening. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you all for listening, and see you again next week, as Lindsay just said.
Bye.